Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. I'm just going to go ahead and use the pulpit mic, Mr. Rick. The other one's not working. I think it's out of batteries here. Luke chapter number 15. I've been praying about what it is to speak about this summer as a series. And the Lord's kind of led me. I had originally thought about having a class about soul winning in the back for a group of people that was interested in learning a little bit about it. But the Lord just kind of pressed it upon my heart to spend a number of weeks here just talking about soul winning, talking a little bit about the need here, even giving some ideas here about how to motivate us when it comes to soul winning. I tell you, it's one of the areas of our Christian lives that many people have just glanced over, or they feel like it's necessary, but they just don't know how to make it happen. And so I just want to spend a little bit of time here on Wednesday nights throughout the summer. I want our children to hear it. I want our teenagers to hear it. I want all of us to hear it. You know, it's the passion of God's heart, and it's something that I think that we as a church probably could do a little bit better at. Maybe not all of us, but probably a good part of us could do a little bit better when it comes to expressing and sharing our faith. I know some people are really good at that. Some have come cold to it. I know some people will be like, oh, a soul-winning message, soul-winning series. That's not for me. Well, I think God has told all Christians to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. And I just want to remind you and just encourage you with some things. And I don't know how many weeks we'll do it. It might take us through a whole summer. It only might take a month. And let the Lord lead us through this and step by step. And this week's title of tonight's message is Making a Difference. I don't know any better way that you can make a difference in someone's life than to share the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, what greater thing can you do for an individual or for a person than to share them, introduce them to Jesus Christ? There's a story, and it kind of goes along with their picture back there. One day, a man was walking near the ocean shoreline, was littered with starfish that had been beached on the sand from a recent storm. As the man walked, he came upon a young boy frantically picking up the dying starfish and throwing him back into the ocean. The man says, "Son," with a smile on his face, he put his hand on the boy's shoulder and says, "You know what you're doing is futile, right?" The boy didn't even pay attention to him. He hardly even looked up. He just reached for another starfish and hurled it into the ocean. He reached for another one and hurled it into the ocean. The man tried again. He said, "Look." And he pointed down the shore and said, "There's miles and miles of washed up starfish. Tens of thousands of them." The boy grunted as he reached for another one. And the man said, "You could be here all day and all the next day, and the day after that, you could be here all week, and you wouldn't make a difference in all these starfish." For the first time, the boy turned and looked up to the man. He stood as tall as he could with his shoulders back, chin tilted, and starfish in hand. Then he turned and threw the starfish into the ocean. Once again, he looked at the man and said, "I made a difference for that one." And then he bent down and picked up another one. "I made a difference for that one too." Now, we long to have significance in our lives. I don't know about you. I want to make difference. I want to make a difference in people's lives. And those who really truly know the Lord, and those who really want to do what the Lord wants us to do, really are going to want to make a difference in other people's lives too. But I get it. It's like looking at all those starfish. You see all of them down there, and you see the tens of thousands of them. And you wonder why even worry about a few. And you look at the world and there's 6-7 billion people. And you look all around and you see the masses. And you sometimes may get discouraged and say, would I actually make a difference? After all, there's 7 billion people in this world. But to share the gospel with each one of them, even in groups of 100, would take thousands of years. And even if we could live long enough to do it, we might say, why in the world should we care? People don't respond. After all, we do know, we all know people, even in our own families, in our circle of acquaintances, who are just not interested in knowing Christ. Yet, as we look at the pages of the Bible tonight, we will see that God's given us a commission. A commission to go and tell others about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we find that every Christian has been given a commission. And even though it might seem overwhelming, God is asking for us to do our part. When you think of it, it's really not an obligation or even a commission as much as it is a privilege. Not every Christian is called to be a pastor or maybe a foreign missionary or have a public teaching ministry. But every Christian is called to go to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to personally deliver the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we take it personally, one person at a time, God uses that witness to make a difference, an eternal difference, one life at a time. And I know, like as I said before, when some people hear the thought of soul winning, they kind of write it off. It's too hard. It's not worth it. But I'm always thankful. I go back and remind myself of the people who helped bring me to Christ, the people who helped bring my parents to Christ. So I grew up in a home where there was a Christian influence that helped say I was going to go to church. And the people who faithfully taught Sunday school classes, the preachers that preached, the evangelists that got up and spoke and preached the word of God that showed me my need. So we can look at it one way or another. We can see hundreds of thousands of people. We can look at them as communities. We can look at them as vast numbers. Or we can wonder, can we reach just one? We can say, I can't do it. Or we can listen to God's call, rely on the Holy Spirit, and just by faith, do what he's asked us to do. Personally share the gospel. We can make a difference, even if it is just with one. And teach that one to do the same. And then it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. So I like to think a little bit tonight, you're not going to probably hear anything new except for maybe some of the illustrations. You're going to hear things that you've heard before, and our hearts have grown maybe not cold to it, but unresponsive when we hear. There's four different reasons why I believe it's important that we soul win. And it's because people are valuable. The value of one. We sing that song in this book in Luke chapter 15, verse number 10. It says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. One sinner that repenteth. And in this chapter, in Luke chapter number 15, you got stories about the woman who lost a coin and was searching for it. You got a father that's looking for their son and the prodigal son. You got the shepherd who has lost a sheep and goes looking for it. And what are they teaching us? What are they showing us in this chapter? They're showing us that one is important. Just even one is worth it. If we had all these ministries and did all these things for the Lord, if even just one was reached, the value of that soul would be worth it all. And the ministry that Jesus Christ did on this earth, he was always interested in individuals. We think about in John chapter number 4 how he went out of his way to Samaria for that one woman. We think about blind Bartimaeus, that Jesus, the people told him to be silent, but Christ said he called for him. We think over and over how Jesus loved sinners and reached out for sinners. It reminds me a little bit of a quote that the former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, once said. He said, after the terrorist attack on September 11, 2001, someone asked him to share a few thoughts. I found it interesting. He said, when everybody was fleeing that building and the cops and the firefighters and the EMS people were heading back into the building, do you think any of them ever said, I wonder how many black people are up there that need to be saved? I wonder what percentage of white people are up there? I wonder how many Jews are up there? He says, I wonder how many of them make $400,000 a year or $24,000 a year. He said, no, when you're saving lives, they're all precious. And the truth of the matter is, I think God views human life the same way. I don't think God bases it off a color or God bases it off a certain sect of where you live at. And Giuliani was referring to physically saving lives. How much more valuable is a person's soul? His words were true, and they ring surely just as more powerful when it comes to rescuing people from eternity away from Jesus Christ. See, I think God wants us to value every life, every person we see. Obviously, some are easier to value than others. Some are easier to say, hey, that's a person I want to reach because that's a person that's who has helped me. That's a part of my family. That's someone who I can understand. That's someone who I've seen make a difference in other people's lives. But as you think about those that went to rescue those people on September 11th, they didn't care who they were. They just wanted to help people. And in our lives, I really think we need to view people as a valuable resource. Point number one is because their soul is eternal. Their soul is eternal. You know, God created the human soul in his own image. Among other things, that means that we have an eternal soul. Since sin entered into the world, our bodies are decaying and dying. But our souls never die. But how often do we think about that? How often do we think when we get up in the morning, today may be my last day here on this earth, what should I do for God? Or how often do we think about those that live around us and those that we interact with every single day and say, that person's soul could enter into eternity today? There's a little phrase up there that I thought was really great. Even the best life on earth that ends without Christ will bring the worst eternity. You think about that. Even the best life on earth that ends without Christ will bring the worst eternity. I was out door knocking one day with their teenagers, and I was by myself. They were divided up, and this was years ago. And I knocked on the door, and the lady introduced herself and had been on the same street. And sometimes when you go back over and over, had been to her house at least twice, talked to her one time before. She says, you were here a couple years ago. I said, I remember you now. And she says, we talked a little bit more, and she said she was Mormon. She looked at me and she said, you don't think I'm a Christian, do you? I said, it doesn't matter what you think or what I think. It matters what the Bible tells us. And I told her, you know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I says, then how you view Jesus Christ is what makes the difference. And I explained to her the difference of what I knew of what a Mormon believed versus what we believe from what the Bible says. And I says, and if you believe this, I don't see according to what the Bible says how you could be consider yourself a Christian. And then she began to explain to me how good and moral the Mormons were and explained those things. And I said, you have to answer to God, not to me. And I said, according to what the Bible says, you know, this is Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You're putting your faith and trust in him and him alone. And I says, it doesn't matter how good we live in this world. If we die without Christ, we're lost forever. And the Bible even says that Jesus pointed this out in Mark 8:36, says, for what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This is why you and I must remember that every person has the eternal soul. So when we think about this, why is one of the reasons why we need to be a witness? Why is one of the reasons we want to make a difference? Why should it matter to us? Why should we ask God to once again put a fire in our heart and put a desire in our heart to reach other people? It's because every person has a soul. I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart when I see people that care more about animals than people. I mean, you think about the animals that don't have a soul versus a person. You know, they're the person that was created in the image of God. You know, a soul is eternal. So why should we want to make a difference? It's because each person has a soul. And that soul is eternal. Second reason why is not only is the soul eternal, but heaven and hell are real. So we know, we establish the fact here that everyone's gonna, after their body dies and decays and goes away, their soul lasts forever. But what happens to them after that? Not only does a person's soul live somewhere forever, but the Bible clearly tells us there's two places that it can be. That's either heaven or that's hell. And Jesus spoke of both of them often. The amazing thing is, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven in the Bible. And he gives us a glimpse. And take your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. One of the reasons why we chose this is because it's just a page over. Luke chapter 16, you see the story about the rich man who dies and immediately he is in hell. Let's look here in Luke chapter 16. We're going to read a little bit of this. I'm not going to read all of it, but there's a couple of things I'd like to make mention here. Luke 16 says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You know, he gained the whole world in a sense. Just verses earlier said that. And I'm sorry, that was in Mark. And it says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores. And it says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So we see two individuals. We see here that there's two souls, and they both pass away, and they go to different places. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And it says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and see if Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You read these verses, and they're very somber because it tells us of a place that is torturous. Tells us of a place that has a literal flame, and it tells of a place that this man knows he's never getting out of. He doesn't say, can you let me out of here? He knows he's here. He knows this is his fate. He understands that this is his fate. He asks for just a little bit of relief. Verse 25 says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf thick, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I think about that, those words, place of torment. His description, a person who's living through it. And I wonder how many of us really believe there is a literal heaven and a literal hell. Because I think our soul winning would be a little bit different if we actually, I know we say we believe it by faith. I know we would not question what the Bible says. But how many of us really believe, if this story happened 2,000 years ago, that over the last hundreds of years, after hundreds of years, after hundreds of years, that man's been in that place and has been in torment that whole entire time? If we believe that, then it would be important to us. Then we would say that person has the eternal soul. That soul is going somewhere. And like I said, this man, there for probably 2,000 years. You say, you think it's a literal man? Well, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus use parables and use people's names, since he uses, I believe there is a Lazarus, and I believe there is a rich man. You say, why didn't he use a rich man's name? I think because of the fact that he would be spared, his families would be spared of hearing his name over and over about the torment that's happening here. But it's a place of torment. And you see, he's asking, please send someone to my brothers. And Abraham says, save unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And verse 31, I think, is probably the key that unlocks a passage for me. And I know the rest is very intimidating, the rest is very awe-inspiring too. But it says, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. It's the idea here, you need God's help. You need the Word of God present. You need the Holy Spirit of God that's going to call them, direct them, lead them, convict them. It's not about a certain program. It's not about some type of trickery. It's not about some type of miracle. It's about us faithfully presenting Moses and the prophets here with the Word of God. Because he's saying, look, if even one rose from the dead, they wouldn't even believe if they weren't going to believe the Word of God. And I think sometimes people say, I'm not going to go soul winning because I'm not eloquent enough. I don't know enough, or I don't have the right technique or the proper story. But the reality of it is, it's the Holy Spirit of God that works through a willing servant and a willing soul. So why in the world should we care about soul winning? Number one is because there is an eternal soul, and there is truly a place that is heaven and hell. And sometimes I think we forget that. Just as lost people often forget that they have an eternal soul, I think Christians tend to forget that every single person, family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, the person who checks us out of the grocery store, the person walking their dog, the person that annoys us at work, every person will spend eternity either in a place called heaven or hell. If you look out there on your verse that's on the screen, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But also there are so many wonderful things that talks about heaven. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope." We have a hope to share. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we know we have this hope because Christ rose from the dead. Listen to this. "An inheritance incorruptible," which means it will never corrupt, "and undefiled, has never been tainted, and that fadeth not away, is never going away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Christians, I know that people say, "Well, what's wrong with our church? Or why doesn't our church grow? Or what is the greatest need of our church?" And I think one of the things is for us to have a heart to realize that the people around us, they have souls. And that those souls will either spend eternity in a place called heaven or hell. The third thing I want you to see here is why I think we should care is because Jesus is the only way of salvation. Jesus is the only way of salvation. So what does that matter? Why should we care? It means that we have the truth. There was a poet that once said, "A man may go to heaven without health, without riches, without honors, without learning, without friends, but he can never go there without Christ." He may go without health, riches, honors, learning, or friends, but they're not going to get there without Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, if you're truly saved, according to what the Bible says, according to what the Word of God says, there was a time in your life when you realized Christ was the only hope of salvation and you turned from your efforts to save yourself and trusted in Christ. But we live in a society today that does not accept that. We live in a pluralistic society that bristles at the Christ claim of exclusivity. You know, they think it's crazy. They think everyone else should have their own way. And they think everyone else has their own options. They can have a spiritual shopping catalog. I remember watching an Oprah that was on, don't worry, I didn't watch Oprah on its own, but it was on a YouTube, and they had this idea that this different people are talking about the different ways they got to God. And one person talked about the light, and one person talked about this, and a woman stood up, and they let the woman talk, and he says that the Bible says, Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but me, but by me." And Oprah says, "Well, that works for you, but for so-and-so over here, they might call it the light, and so-and-so over here might call it something different, and so-and-so." And, you know, the woman says, "No, that's just not truth." And it's either the Bible is the Word of God, either we have the truth or not. And you can go look that up, and you can see that there are people there that believe that there's all types of way to heaven. They can work their way to heaven. They can pay penance to get to heaven. They can get baptized to get to heaven. But if we're going to stand by Peter and Peter's words when he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that's Jesus Christ. The world objects that. The world says all roads lead to heaven. It's easy. It's very easy to bend and say, "Well, maybe they're right, maybe they're this, maybe they're that," instead of arguing with someone. And I'm not saying that you need to argue with people, but I'm saying that we should not shy away from the truth that we know is reality, because that's what help is, the help to be able to show someone the truth of Jesus Christ. The fact is, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and I'm later on in the series we'll look a little bit more at that. But here's the thing that's more important than anything, is it? We had the opportunity to make a difference. We do. We had the opportunity to make a difference. No one else has this opportunity. Jesus Christ chooses to use those that are believers to present the message and to bring the gospel. No, they're not going to find it on their own. Now, I know sometimes through a track, I know sometimes through a witness, I get that. But he's given us a commission. He's given us a job to go tell others. If we'll be a consistent witness for Christ, we must allow these convictions. Every person has an eternal soul. There is a heaven and hell, and Jesus Christ is the only way there to grip our hearts. We must believe them. We must remember them. We must learn to see people not as masses, not as personalities, but as individuals who have an eternal soul that will live somewhere forever. And when we remember these truths and rely on the Holy Spirit of God, God can help us. So, last reason. You know, we see the soul, we see the heaven and hell, we see Jesus Christ is the only way, but we've been commissioned. We've been told to do it. We can try to get around that. We can try to say no and this and that, but Jesus Christ told us in his word, this is what he wants us to do. Curtis Hudson used to say, either you're being an obedient Christian and you're soul winning, or you're being a disobedient Christian and not telling people about Jesus Christ. He says you can't have both ways. When he tells us to do something and we don't do it, it's like disobeying. Let me ask you this question. If you could write your purpose statement for your life in 20 words or less, what would it be? You think about it for a minute. Your purpose statement in this, for this life, your life, in 20 words or less, what would it be? Some might say, well, maybe the list of roles, to be the best parent, the best nurse, to be the best friend I can be. Some would start out their purpose statement by saying, I had this goal in life, to maybe cure cancer or to do this or that. Some would say, list their hope to influence the next generation. Some would say they would hope to be remembered as. Jesus Christ had a purpose statement, I think, when the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In less than 16 words, he says, this is the reason why I came. I think sometimes we got to look at it. What is our purpose? Why are we here? I began thinking about those words and I thought, well, somewhere in my 20 words or less, I'd like to think to bring glory to God. That's my desire, is to bring glory to God. And I think when the Bible says in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So what is our purpose here in this world? We've been commissioned. This is what the job that Jesus has given us to do. And I know he's told us to be the right husband, be the right father, be the right wife, mother, right children, right church member. I know all those things. But what would our overwhelming goal be? Jesus did not come to earth to be admired, even though he was admired. Jesus did not come to earth to be recognized, even though he was recognized. He certainly didn't come to enjoy comfort. Obviously, he did not have comfort. He had all those things in heaven. He was recognized in heaven. He was admired in heaven. He was worshipped in heaven. He had all the comforts in heaven. He came for one person, and that was for came for one thing, and that was for lost souls, to seek and to save the lost. You know, the Pharisees used to criticize him, says, why are you spending time with the sinners? Why are you spending time with those wicked people? And Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus was willing to rearrange his life in order to see people saved. We won't even, many times, won't even do anything to see someone come to Christ. We don't like to be inconvenienced by it. Once again, it's simple, it's easy. Are we going to be obedient or not? Are we really truly going to say, this is why God has called us to be, or this is what God saved us to do? And the Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. You know, these are things that we got to remember and got to put on our hearts and put in our minds, that he gave us the commission. And we see that. It says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go. So that's the first thing. Go ye therefore. It means that we need to go somewhere and teach all nations. Now this word teach, I think it gives the pretense of preaching. We need to explain to people the gospel, show them the gospel, baptizing them, helping them follow in the truth of the Lord, and in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And then we see discipleship, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. So what is the purpose of tonight's message? The purpose of tonight's message is to at least give us some thought. Cause us to think a little bit. Not to shut our doors or our minds or our ears to the truth of what the Bible says. If we would be honest with ourselves, I think all of us would say, as a Christian, I want to make a difference. Maybe I've lacked. Maybe I've done wrong. Maybe I've slacked at it. Maybe I've become cold-hearted towards this, but I really want to make a difference in somebody's life. And we'll say that Jesus Christ said that he's going, he wants us to go, he wants us to teach, he wants us to baptize, he wants us to disciple others. Here comes the question is, are we doing that? And how are we doing at it? Are we sharing that with anyone? And are we sharing it the way that Christ wants us to share it? There's many reasons, and we'll look at different things why people do not soul win. And we'll look at ways to soul win, and we'll look at the motivation there. I think the greatest motivation is that we love Jesus Christ and we want to follow after him and but let him make us fishers of men. There's all types of things in the Word of God when it comes to how we can be a successful soul winner. But the question is, why should we? It's because everyone has a soul. That soul is going to live somewhere, and the only one that can help that is Jesus Christ. And he has told us, we're supposed to tell others also. So tonight, take the message as you will, and think about these things. Don't just dismiss it. Don't just pass away. I knew all those things. You didn't tell me anything I didn't know. Well, have you acted upon those things? Has it made a difference in your life? Has it changed you? Jesus wept over people. Jesus wept with people. Jesus came from heaven to do this. Many times we don't want to be inconvenienced to do anything. I want to let God challenge our hearts, not just tonight, but throughout this summer on Wednesday nights, about telling others about Jesus Christ. Does that mean that we're going to have everybody show up again next week and bring friends because they love the soul winning topics? Hopefully. Does it mean that some people are going to say, I don't want to go hear about that? Maybe. But the truth is, there is men and women, boys and girls all around us that are dying and going to a place of torment called hell. And we have the opportunity and privilege to share with somebody else the truth of the gospel, whether it be through a tract, through a personal testimony, what Jesus Christ did for you. So I don't know what happened. Well, you know what Jesus Christ did for you? You saw that you were a sinner. You saw you had a need. You confessed those sins. You asked Christ to save you from those sins, and he's changed your life since then. That's your salvation testimony. Share that with somebody else and say, if you want to know how to do that, I can get somebody that can help you. Or you can show them through a Bible track. It is something that we should have burdening our hearts. It is something we should leave this place saying, you know what? The Bible is right. Christ has asked us to do this. I need to go and do this. If I don't know how to do this, I need to get with someone that knows how to do this. We need to make a plan and do it intentionally and say, I'm going to spend X number of minutes or an hour. I'm going to spend time trying to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. Making a difference. That little boy picked up those starfish and says, I made a difference in that one's life. Maybe we need to ask God to allow us to make a difference in even just one person's life. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful for so much. Well, I'm sorry that if I don't tell as many people as I should. Lord, I pray that you help us to have a burden for lost souls. Pray that we see that the soul is eternal and Lord, it's going to spend eternity somewhere. Lord, I pray you convict our hearts and our minds and our souls about the need to have a desire and a fire to tell others. Lord, I pray that we want to tell and share with others the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you help this church to be a place that reaches out, not just a place that supports missionaries that reach out, not just a place where it has a few members that reach out, but Lord, that each of us would own the responsibility for ourselves and say, I personally should be telling other people about Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If God has spoken to your